it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome into the Inside Pitch Major League Baseball podcast brought to you by pregame.com alongside former Major League pitcher Josh Towers. I'm Scott Seidenberg as we get you ready for another week of the Major League Baseball season. And Josh, we record this on Monday, April 29th, and the best record in the American League, and well, not the best record in baseball, tied for the most wins in baseball, but the best record in the American League is the Cleveland Guardians, not the New York Yankees, who are 19-10. The Guardians are 19-9 in the National League. The Braves are 19-7. So those are the three teams with 19 wins across baseball. But I think we expected the Braves and the Yankees to be where they are right now. The Cleveland Guardians...
Wait, you expected the Yankees to be?
Absolutely.
You did, really?
With the addition of Juan Soto, we talked about this before, how dangerous he makes that lineup. Aaron Judge is now heating up. I fully expected the Yankees to be where they are.
I didn't. For me, it was their pitching. If their pitching's good, okay. Like, again, 2 years ago, the pitching was great, gave them a chance. The guys averaged like 7 innings a start. It was a beautiful scenario, so even when the offense isn't there. But, like, again, Soto, to me, doesn't change the lineup, right? It's just one guy. We can navigate, you know, around it, but you can also be successful with or without. We saw the Braves win a World Series without Acuna. But yeah, I mean, I think we, as fans, we get excited about the Yankees whenever they do something. The team is definitely better than it has been, but it's all predicated on that pitching. Because listen, you and I know that Judge season that he had that year, the MVP year, it's not going to happen every year. Mm-hmm. He's already struggling big time. Stanton and the rest of the lineup's no good. I wish LeMahieu was healthy. Rizzo's, you know, he's just a 230 hitter nowadays. That's all he is.
Judge is coming around. The offense, he's hot the past week.
The offense hasn't been good in the past. So Soto is just, all right, so we navigate around him. Again, it's for this team to be dominant or good, it has to be a team game.
But you're right.
It's not an offensive loaded, they're studs.
The Yankees pitching staff has the second lowest ERA in baseball right now.
That's what I'm saying. That's the whole key. It makes the offense relax, right? And then they can dedicate their time to being better teammates and better situational hitting and better protectors of pre and post, right? Who's in front and who's behind. No, they have the ability. And I'm wondering if the age of the players puts them in a situation to be more successful as well. They're not young and just trying to go crazy and make a name and get famous. They're all at a spot. And even Soto at 25, he's been in the game for 6-7 years, right? I get what you're saying. I don't look at them as that, like the Braves, the Dodgers pitching struggling, but the Braves, the Dodgers, teams like that, they're on a different level. I don't have the Yankees on that level. They're a tier below. Like, I think the Orioles are way better than the Yankees, but I see what you can see. I see what you're saying.
Well, the point I'm trying to make is
I'd like them to add one more. Imagine they went and got a Bogaerts or somebody.
Well, Gerrit Cole is going to be the guy that they add.
No, like an offensive guy.
Oh, an offensive guy.
Like imagine. Oh my God.
Well,
it'd be fun.
The reason why I want to talk, I mentioned the Yankees is because I'm saying like you're not surprised. You can explain why the Yankees are where they are right now. The Cleveland Guardians are 19-9, and yes, you could tell me that the division.
Oh, I can argue this. Yeah.
You could tell me the division stinks. Right, and if we look at their schedule, like who have they played? Have they beaten up on bad teams? They started the season beating up on the A's. All right, you know, they beat up on the White Sox.
We're gonna argue this, dude. I'm excited.
They beat up on the A's again, and the Red Sox. But you know something? They played the Yankees. They lost 2 out of 3 to the Yankees.
Do you see their record versus teams with a 500 record or better?
What is it?
It's 11-7.
11-7?
They're one of the rare teams. I mean, the Baltimore Orioles, 11-4 versus winning teams. Mm-hmm. Right? Very, very, very good. The Yankees are only 4-2, so 6 games. But the Guardians are 4 games above 500. Perspective, because I wrote all this down. Talk about the Kansas City Royals. We think they're a good team, right?
Yeah.
They got some growth to do. The Royals, so the Guardians are 19-9. The Royals are 17-12, right? So 2.5 games back. The Guardians are 11-7 versus 500 or better teams. the Royals are 5-10. The Minnesota Twins are 14-13. They are 7-13 versus winning teams. So this Guardians team shows you, just by looking at that alone, Scotty, that they don't just pitch. They don't just hit. They do everything else. They're defensively in the right spot. They situationally hit. Mm-hmm. They work counts. They get on base. They know how to play close games, one-run games. The bullpen is situational. The only difference, and I'm sorry I cut you off because I got a little excited, the difference between the Yankees and the Guardians is the Yankees get put on TV and we know those players' names, so by default we think they're better. But is Ramirez better than Aaron Judge? I can argue all day that he's a better player than Aaron Judge, right? But Aaron Judge is a very famous baseball player because he plays for the Yankees, and they're on TV all the time. Mm-hmm. But Ramirez is better than every other player on that team. He's better than Soto. He's better than there's no one else he's in comparison to even talk about, right? So they have
Josh Naylor's coming into his own as a premier hitter in the
league.
So
we don't know. Like, Kwan has been fantastic, man. Yep. Imagine Kwan. Imagine this guy in pinstripes. Everybody would know who Stephen Kwan is. The whole world would, right? So I think that's where we get lost, is my point. So I think the one thing that's been impressive, I will say, with the Guardians is Francona being gone, right? And so now we have a new manager.
Stephen Vogt, yeah.
But I think with that said, a lot of the staff has remained the same. And when you get to learn under somebody like Francona, like we have a lot of managers around baseball that has or have coached under him, and they learn how to talk to players, how to navigate lineups, how to make lineups. There's a lot of things that Francona doesn't get credit for that we don't talk about because it's not sexy. And so I think Vogt has done a really good job of learning, and not just like Snyder with the Jays. He kind of just got thrown into the mix and didn't really have somebody to look up to. Kevin Cash sat behind Francona forever, and he took a job with experience of under one of the best. And I think that the manager for the Guardians now has done the same thing, right? It's like quarterbacks. We had a draft the other day in the NFL. The sixth pick to the Atlanta Falcons, everybody's talking about, was Michael Penix Jr. I don't care whether you think Penix is good or not.
Yeah.
What they know is that they're going to draft him and hold him for about 3 years before he really plays unless otherwise forced. So what does that do? They know that they're going to teach this kid the game before they hand him the reins.
Let me ask you. So Vogt, he spent 1 year as a coach with Seattle last year. So he's under Scott Service, right, who's a very good manager. He's been in Seattle for a few years now. They haven't gotten over the hump. But I think Scott Service is a very smart baseball mind. But when you see these guys get hired across Major League Baseball, these younger former players that don't have the managerial experience, two things come to mind. One, it's the idea of being player-friendly, right? It's being the guy that the players can identify with, because you've seen it. The old baseball manager that is the disciplinarian, it fades after a while. You can have success for like 1 year, but then it wears off. Buck Showalter with the Mets, it wears off. And there's less and less of these lifetime baseball guys around the league. Instead, they're more younger, former players.
Arguable.
Is it because, my question is it because they identify with the players, or is it because the manager has become less and less important because all the decisions are made by the analytics department and the general manager, and the lineups are prepared before the series even begin?
Yeah, that's not true. The analytics department tries to, or the GM tries to implement a little bit, but the decisions are still made by the managers. It's just the managers that are afraid to make the decision in the game when it matters, and then they go to a piece of paper. But those guys who don't make decisions, they don't last, and teams all fail. That's why, these guys are all fail. It's like Joe Torre. Joe Torre managed for years and was awful. And then all of a sudden he shows up in New York with God's gift to baseball, and now they win. And so he had to learn how, in my opinion, because we all look at Joe as a great manager, and he was. I played underneath the guy. But he wasn't very good when he didn't have a good team in the beginning. It took a lot of years, and here's a good team, here's a depth, here's money.
And it was Buck's team that he inherited.
And now all of a sudden he's able to learn how to manage with great players in a winning team. He didn't do that with terrible players, and then he struggled for a while. Dusty Baker, he's phenomenal.
And Baker's even gone now.
Right.
Yeah, so this year is with the Espada.
Almost shows it, right?
Espada.
It almost shows it, right?
Yeah.
You take a guy who everybody was in love with.
Yep.
And I'm still, the team is getting a little bit older, right, with the exception of a couple guys. But it just shows you Dusty Baker goes, I got this. I keep all my stuff right here. I tally. I actually do the game right in front of you. I make decisions as I'm coming. Everybody loves him, by the way. Everybody who's ever known Dusty Baker in the history of this game loves him. And so now you have a guy that players can go, they can trust, there's full transparency. He gets the best out of these guys. And then even a little bit of age, you bring somebody else in, and it's like, why aren't they performing the same way? Why don't you play for me the way you do for Dusty? I mean, I watch it in all levels. I'm watching the collegiate level. Managers are, or head coaches become, one of the most important pieces of this successful train. I need players, but I don't have to have the best team to be a winning team. You have to have a manager who players like, a staff that players like, who puts them in a position of success.
Yeah, I think the Rays have proved that more than anybody. I mean, when Kevin Cash got that job, I don't think everybody's screaming Kevin Cash is going to be the next great manager in Major League Baseball.
Right.
But who's to argue with the results? Kevin Cash is one of the greatest managers in baseball.
He's been the best last, how many years? 10, maybe?
Yeah. But let's go back to the Guardians here. I want to read some numbers here. So the Guardians are 19-9 on the season, 8-4 at home, 11-5 on the road. 11-7 versus teams over 500. Mm-hmm. One-run games, they're only 3-4, though, so it's not like they're dominating one-run games. 5-2 in blowout games, and that's the thing. Like, this team has a plus 46 run differential. It's the second highest in all of baseball behind the Atlanta Braves at 47. So when they win games, it feels like they are tacking on and just beating up on bad teams.
But that's what I'm saying. I say this all the time. Anybody can start a game. Not anybody can finish a game, right? And so once something doesn't go teams' ways, they quit. Players quit. Coaches quit. We have so much inexperience in the game, and we have so many managers who don't know what they're doing, hence the letting the guy above you manage for you when they're not in the dugout, is all of a sudden, when something goes their way, these computers, these analytics, they don't teach you how to make an adjustment. They don't teach you how to stay in the game. They don't teach you how to calm this down and pick back one at a time. People panic, and then it's game over. They just quit. They don't know what to do, so then they pull this guy, and that's why teams have a winning bullpen and a losing bullpen. And now all of a sudden we're losing, so I'm going to put my losing bullpen in, and everybody knows that, oh, if we're losing, I'm going to pitch. And it's a negative vibe. You don't ever pitch Scott Seidenberg in a winning game. So every time you come in, you have that feeling about, oh, we're losing. And the team knows it. Hitters know it. And so you just basically go, screw it, we lost. Teams don't know how to come back and win. They don't know how to train. They don't train for this. They don't prepare for this. They don't learn. They don't realize that we don't have a clock and that we play 9 innings for a reason. So there's a lot of situations where managers are so inexperienced or players are so inexperienced that they just pack it in when they lose. The Tribe does not do that. They know how to play 9 innings of a baseball game. They don't play 5 and dive. They play 9, and so you put your losing bullpen in, or you bring somebody off the bench, and it's like, oh, we're losing. We're down 4-6. And then that's where they just start beating up on bad teams, bad pitching, bad situational stuff, like where guys pack it in. They's like, all right, pack it in all you want. So then what do they get? They create this opportunity for all of their players, pitchers, hitters, everybody, bench guys, to play in the 8th and 9th inning to learn that experience of what it's like to play in those situations. And so now they come seasoned. They come with experience that where nothing shocks them anymore. So while you're still trying to figure out how to navigate through this inning and you don't know quite what to do, they've already been there 1,000 times, right? So it's just, there's a lot to having all your guys play in the 8th and 9th inning and learn about the game. There's a lot that comes to it. So vital.
I'm curious to see how the team does this week. They got 3 games with the Astros, the struggling Astros, coming up in Houston.
You're talking about the Guardians, too,
yeah,
right?
The Guardians.
They're pitching. I mean, they're 3-2-2 ERA,
bro. And then they got 3 games against the Angels and then 3 against Detroit before they get to beat up on the White Sox again. The White Sox, by the way, won games over the weekend.
It's crazy, right?
The White Sox swept the Tampa Bay Rays. Is unbelievable. I just don't know if it's sustainable, like if we're looking at the Guardians because of, like, the numbers are flashy. Or, I mean, they beat the shit out of the Oakland A's, right? Like, are the numbers skewed because they beat up on the A's?
But their numbers aren't that, right? They're 250, but 250 in Major League Baseball is 9th best in the game. That's
I'm looking at their WRC Plus right now, which is weighted runs created, is 10th in Major League Baseball. So they're the 10th offense in baseball.
Yeah.
Not the second highest run differential. Yeah,
they're not dominating on home runs. They only got 26. The RBIs, whatever. The walks are very, very low. The strikeouts is something that they're pretty good at. They don't strike out a lot. Mm-hmm. Stolen bases is something. They're very, very high on stolen bases. So let's go to that right quick. Guardians. So they have their fourth most stolen bases in the game. So when they get on, that's the other thing. They put pressure on teams. Yeah. So we don't know how to hold runners. We haven't been taught that. We don't know how to pick, right? So they're making pitchers nervous. So they're getting in scoring position where other teams.
They're manufacturing.
They're not manufacturing.
No.
Not necessarily. No. They're just created an extra point. Okay. So the Cubs, they're a respectful team, and the Twins are a respectful team. They have 8 and 9 stolen bases on the season. That's the lowest. That's not sustainable. You're not going to hang around baseball too long. But the other ones, the Rockies, the Cardinals, the Giants, the Athletics, they're all down there. Like, you have to create offense.
Yeah, Cleveland's fourth in baseball in stolen bases.
So what it does is it I bet they're pretty low and probably double plays turned against, right? There's a lot of things that this team doesn't allow to happen that other teams do. We saw, who was it the other day? Some team hit into like 6 double plays in one game. That's inning. I mean, you're done, right? That's a huge momentum for me as a pitcher in defense. And so the Tribe doesn't do that. So where they lack on some areas, they make up in other areas. The other thing is the strikeouts are up a little bit. Walks are down, which is kind of crazy. But they're average everywhere else, man. But when they get on, they're not afraid to move. They're not afraid to stay out of certain situations. They're not afraid to put themselves in a position where you're right. Okay, so I said no, but maybe still second. Now get them over to third. Now get them in, right? They're great, dude. But they don't do it, Scott, just to do it. They do it when the situation says it's right to do it. They do it at the opportune times to put themselves in a position to win. If it's a 4-3 game in the seventh inning and you come out of the pen and give up a run, you're deflated. Your momentum, your everything's bombed. You went down. That's when they pick on you. They don't steal in the third inning when no one cares.
The Guardians right now, let's see, in terms of the amount, they're middle of the pack. Middle of the pack as far as grounds to double plays per game, 0.71. So yeah, that's like 17th in Major League Baseball. So they're actually, it's middle of the road. The worst team is actually Miami and the New York Yankees. Have grounded into the most double plays per game. Miami makes sense. They stink. The Yankees, though, that's surprising.
I don't know.
Well, because they're not running. They don't have.
They don't run. They won't run. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about this? Like, this is where we talk about.
Stolen bases, the Yankees are.
So remember we said the Pirates?
17th in baseball.
So remember we talked about the Pirates, especially in one of the early ones. The Pirates always start out good in April. They always start out, then they fade, right? They faded earlier this year than normal. They're one game below 500. Their ERA as a team is 370. That's really good, Scott. But how about the Pirates? They're 9 saves and 17 save opportunities. They're just barely above 50%. They had that guy, Bednar or whatever, who's really good. But we watched him earlier in the season, and he couldn't hold runners, one. And two, his PFPs was one of the worst. He's one of the guys, when I watched the Marlins and him a few weeks ago, I go, oh, clearly went through the motions in spring training, as if he's God's gift all of a sudden. And look what's happening. These teams are now stealing bases again, and he can't field his position to hold runners. And so the Pirates can't close a game because teams are taking advantage of areas and pitchers that weren't necessarily exposed before. And so these guys like Bednar and these other guys who were good are now, they're not that, okay, so you throw 100, but unless you strike everybody out, contact is going to be your enemy, because if I get on base, I'm stealing second. You can't field your position. I'll lay a bunt down. Now I got 2 guys on. Like, so teams are starting to learn.
8 blown saves is tied with Tampa and Miami for the most in baseball.
And then there's Tampa. That's the other thing. 8 and 16. 8 saves, 16 ops. Boston Red Sox, 8 saves, 15 opportunities. Tampa never has a bullpen that does this. That's why Tampa's struggling this year. Same exact team everywhere, except there. Their relievers, their bullpen has been struggling mightily. And so, again, them and the Red Sox, think about that. You're 50% on save opportunities?
Mm-hmm.
Something's got to change, y'all.
Yeah. So, again,
when these Corbin Carrolls, these Ayla De La Cruzes, all these guys come in and go, you know what, we're going to steal again. These Gunnar Henderson's, this new change of baseball, it's beautiful. Because now where we were lazy and didn't do anything, we're massively exposed. So these one-horse ponies, they're done. Is that the saying? Is that one-horse pony?
One-trick pony.
They're exposed now. So now they're no longer as good as what we thought they were. Everybody's good when no one steals. When I don't have to worry about the runner, it's so much easier to pitch, bro.
Yeah, the Rays probably got to be one of your most disappointing teams across baseball.
And that's just
it. They just got swept by the White Sox.
Look at the Diamondbacks, 6-12. Look at the Marlins, it's bad, 4-12.
Well, the thing is, those are teams that you really don't have, like, the dynamic closer. I mean, how many of those teams would kill for a Mason Miller right now? Guy coming out of the bullpen throwing 103 and just blowing it by guys.
They have teams. The Marlins didn't do anything in spring training. They didn't do anything. Bro, they just showed up to Jupiter and go, oh, we're back in one of the coolest places on Earth. We're not doing anything. We're going to golf. We're going to party. We're going to go to Guanabana's and the place across the street. And that's all we're going to do. And trust me, we watch in Miami. We watch you guys. You didn't do anything.
Miami now 6-23 is tied with the White Sox. Well, the White Sox are 6-22.
In my opinion, if the Phillies clean that part up, they're the best team in baseball.
If the Phillies clean the bullpen up?
Mm-hmm. Same thing. They're 8-4.
Phillies have won four straight.
Yeah. They're really good.
They're great. They're 19-10 right now. So the same amount of wins as the Braves. Braves are 19-7. And it's funny. I mentioned I was talking about the Braves and Phillies because of I was looking up some stats. First game of series, like how teams do this year in the first game of a series. And as we record this on Monday afternoon, you know, both of these teams will begin series tonight. So the Phillies are at the Angels. The Braves are at the Mariners. Both the Phillies and the Braves are favored. But both the Phillies and the Braves are the two best teams in baseball in the first game of a series this year.
Sets the tone. It's like scoring first, right? It's like it sets the tone.
So the Braves are 8-1.
And they're just trying to win series, by the way. These teams like
and
this.
The Phillies are 7-2.
Yeah.
That's in the first game of the series this year.
Dude, it's beautiful. Set the tone.
I'll give you two guesses. The worst team in baseball in the first game of a series.
I'm just gonna look at the team so I can kind of put
we just talked about them. I mean, it's really not hard. You got a choice of the worst teams in baseball. One team is 0-9.
Well, it's gotta be the White Sox.
The White Sox are actually 1-8. They're the second worst team. It's the Marlins that are 0-9 in the first game.
If you want to learn how to not what to do, watch the Marlins. They don't do anything right. It's sad. They're in arguments. I mean, even Skip, when he's arguing with umpires, there's no base, there's no substance. It's sad.
And the Marlins, we could take advantage of this. So tonight they actually finish up their four-game series with the Nationals.
Yep.
And then they will begin a series with the Rockies tomorrow on Tuesday. The one thing, though, is that something's got to give. Because the Marlins are 0-9 in the first game of a series.
Okay.
The Rockies are 1-8. Colorado's actually better than that. Colorado's 3-6 in the first game of a series. Okay. I was thinking of the Diamondbacks who were 1-8 in the first games of a series. So the Rockies are 3-6. So we're going to bet the Rockies on the road in Miami tomorrow.
I want to check a split real quick while we're talking about this. I want to go to team pitching, and I want to go to the bullpens. I'm going to go relievers.
Okay.
And I just want to pull some stuff. So I'm going to go with ERA first. So team pitching... relievers year to date, Seattle's number one as far as ERA is concerned. The Guardians are number two and still 10 of 15 on save ops. Imagine that if they didn't blow all those save ops. Now that could be a blown save in the seventh inning, too, right? So a little bit different.
Seattle makes sense. They have the third lowest team ERA in all of baseball, 3-1-0.
Their offense is not what we're used to, right? Really bad. You know, they've done a lot of good things, right? Only eight homers. Walks are down, and the strikeouts aren't up. It doesn't matter. You don't need that. But the Guardians, the pen has done a great job. The pen is 9-3 with a 2.53. So they're getting the game, and they're keeping it right where it belongs. Minnesota's pen is the reason why they're winning. They do a lot of things wrong. The offense is very inconsistent. But Minnesota's bullpen, same thing. Give them the game, and they pretty much keep it there. It's a beautiful who else? The Tigers. What are the Tigers missing from being one of the good teams? You have a bullpen right now. It was 11-5 with a 2.71. You have Tarik Skubal is one of the best pitchers in our game. Obviously, your offense is very young and very inexperienced. Is that the only?
I think they're right where we expect them.
But I gotta say,
they're above 500.
But defensively, they're
a competitive team.
Awful. Defensively, it should just be there. Like, it shouldn't be something that I have to ask you to put effort in, right? So to struggle defensively, I just think it's – but I guess the offense is so bad, Josh Javi Baez, that we take our swings to the field. But think about that bullpen and think about that pitching staff and how good this team would be if they were taught how to play. Like, their manager didn't have to teach that type of stuff when he was in Houston because he was loaded.
Yeah.
So areas of his game where he didn't have to get better as a manager, it's showing up now. But imagine that team. That bullpen is so good. So, right. So when we start looking at betting the Tigers, we start looking at, well, first five. This is a first five team, right? Because if they're not winning first five, it's tough for this team to come back. But when they're winning past five, it's pretty much over. They're two different baseball games, Scott.
So first five records this year. Let's see if I can get an update.
While you're doing that, I want to tell you one more. The Oakland A's are 7-3 with a 2.73. That's sixth in baseball with a 2.73 ERA, sixth in baseball as relievers. So this bullpen, when you give this bullpen the lead, they keep it. That closer keeps it. This team, that back half is really good. So, again, when we're betting Oakland.
Detroit this year has actually been awful in the first five.
What you know what I'm saying? When we're betting Oakland, except for Scooble, when we're betting Oakland,
you're right.
If like, that's why Blackburn. If we can get them past the first five, then in-game betting has got to be great on Oakland. You're still going to get them after five, and they're winning. You're still going to get terrible numbers because we all expect it. But one of the best bullpens in the game, where if we can in-game bet this team, we can make a lot of money. It's just the first five are where we're going to struggle. But imagine that. Oakland A, 7-3, 2.73 ERA, sixth best in baseball. And we just look at that team as awful. Not the case, dude. Not the case. Better than the Braves. Better than the Dodgers.
Give me a second here.
Better than the Brewers.
19-20.
The Brewers are 12-3. They're pen because they don't let the starters do their job.
19-10. Are the Phillies 19-10? Yeah, the Phillies are 19-10, right?
Guess what bullpen is 1-11 with the five? You don't have to. It's Miami. They're awful. 1-11. That means every time they get a lead, they blow it. Every time. Think about that, dude.
All right, let me show you who the best first five teams are in baseball right now.
One more time. I got to cut you again. Philadelphia Phillies are one of the best teams in baseball.
Yes.
All right, I put them on my top five, and
they're one of the best first five teams in baseball. I was going to say that.
Okay, they're 4-3 with a 5.5 ERA. Their bullpen is awful. When is this bullpen with a bunch of studs whose names we know? When is this going to clean up? Because if you give this bullpen, give them the Guardians, give them Oakland's bullpen, give them anybody else, this team that's what are they?
Well, you know, 19-10. As much as we,
they're 25-2.
Well, as much as we kind of knocked the guy. I mean, Craig Kimbrel is doing fine. The Phillies should have never let him go.
I agree.
You know?
Stop interchanging. But you have guys who think they should be a closer pitching in the fifth or sixth. That's tough. But they've done
Soto
it.
Soto and, yeah.
And, yeah. But, again, the Philadelphia Phillies, sorry, one of the best teams in baseball, 4-3 with a 5.53 ERA. The starters, by the way, I'm going to go this to you real quick. I know I cut you. I love doing that to you. I know you hate me for it. Innings pitched, Dodgers bullpen leads with 124. The lowest innings pitched by a bullpen, and this isn't coincidental to the, like, this doesn't coincide with the ERA, because usually this actually is better.
Yeah.
And I'll explain it. But the Philadelphia Phillies have 84 innings pitched by their bullpen. It's the lowest in baseball. That's a beautiful, beautiful noise to my ears, because it lets you know how good the starting pitching is doing.
That means they're letting Wheeler them and, yeah,
these guys are doing fantastic. They picked up the kid from Detroit who's been Turnbull, is it? Been
Spencer Turnbull.
Awesome, yep. Right? So if these relievers, they got five guys that are used to pitching more, I don't have five relievers, like five innings when my starters are doing this good, right? So they almost have a problem of too many good pitchers, and it's hurting them a little bit. This is the one offset, but this is one of the most beautiful things about this team is their starting staff is fantastic. So we talk about, like you said, first five team. That's it. That's one of the best teams. The Seattle Mariners have the second, and the Atlanta Braves have the third lowest innings pitched by their bullpen. They also have a 2.5 and a low 3 ERA. It shows you how good they are when you get to less work and you get to position them properly.
So here,
the Phillies are just
so here we go. Phillies are 19-8-2. In the first five of games this year.
Yeah.
They have the sixth best offense in the first five innings, averaging 2.9 runs per first five. Yep. But as you mentioned it, they have the second best runs per game against in the first five. Only 1.55 runs per game against in the first five innings. Boston is the best at 1.45 runs per game. So Philly is a first five team that we want to bet. Boston also, I mentioned, because of the 1.45 runs against per game, they are the best 18-7-4 in the first five of games this year. The worst first five team, Colorado, 5-18-5. The Angels, 8-18-2. St. Louis, 8-16-4.
For the Angels is the lefty who's doing well.
Reed Detmers?
Yeah, he's doing fantastic. So that first five stat, exclude him. That's all the other guys.
Yeah. Also, if you look like, so I'm just looking right now, the runs per game scored. Oakland is the fewest. Chicago is the second fewest. But St. Louis, first five, I'm talking about first five bets only. St. Louis, only 1.75 runs per game in the first five of innings.
Wow.
And they're allowing 2.75 runs per first five. So St. Louis is a team that I want to fade in the first five of games this year. Yeah. I want to fade them in the first five.
Oh, we can make a list of all this, right? Like, so Oakland, if they're winning after five, that's a team we want to bet on in game. The opposite for what you just said. Imagine when the Philadelphia Phillies bullpen cleans up. This team is arguably going to be the best team in baseball.
Well, let's take a look at the World Series odds right now. I bet you can get good value on the Phillies because everyone's talking about the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Braves and the the Braves specifically in the National
19
League.
19-10.
So the Phillies are 12-1 to win the World Series. They are the fifth favorite. Just to win the National League, the Phillies are the third favorite behind the Dodgers and the Braves at plus 600. I like the plus 600 to win the National League. And then we'll see what happens in the World Series. All right, so those are the first. Those are the first fives. Again, let me just go over the best first five teams in baseball right now: Boston, Philly, Washington. Surprisingly, Cleveland.
This is what now?
First five teams.
Okay.
Boston, Philly, Washington, Cleveland, Milwaukee. The worst teams: Colorado, the Angels, St. Louis, Oakland, and Miami. In terms of the top runs scored or the top runs allowed. Per first five, Colorado, San Diego, Chicago, Oakland, Miami. The fewest runs allowed, Boston, Philly, Kansas City, the Yankees, and Pittsburgh. And then runs like that you score yourself, Arizona, L.A., Milwaukee, Chicago, Cleveland. And then the worst offenses, Oakland, Chicago, San Francisco, St. Louis, Colorado. A lot of those similar teams here.
Where did you have the Tigers at? I thought I heard you say the Tigers.
So the Tigers are actually 9-14-5 in the first five. That's a terrible first five.
But how about
this?
How far do you and I go into breaking this down? I mean, we care about money. We go deep. The Tigers are 10-4 on the road. So is this at home where they're getting destroyed? Because they're 10-4 overall on the road, dude.
So on the road, they're 6-7-1 in the first five. 3-7-4 at home. And then runs per game, so the amount of that they're scoring at home this year. Detroit is, where are we? Detroit, where the heck are the Tigers?
The run differentials.
They are 1.71 runs per game in the first five at home, 1.93 on the road. In terms of the opponent's runs here, the Tigers are Detroit. They allow 2.21 at home and 2 on the road. So not a crazy split there, but we do see that they are 9-14-5 overall in the first five innings. All right, another stat I wanted to get into with you, Josh, as this is like the modified version of Josh's Tower for this week. Days of the week. As a player, do you have a favorite day of the week pitching? Do teams have a day of the week that they just don't like playing on? Like, does the day of the week matter to you?
Yeah, it does. It really does. I mean, it's not something that we case specifically think about because a lot of times we don't even know what day it is. We don't know that there's a holiday going on. Like, none of that matters to us. We're just rolling.
Like, it's National Apple Pie Day or something?
It doesn't matter. we have to play tomorrow. And so to us, it's just work. We don't. Life isn't the same as everybody else in the world. Like, there's no days off because of holidays. There's nothing. You just play, which is great because everybody else gets their days off to watch sports being played.
Well, let me give you the stats.
It does matter, and it is a real thing. Teams do, for whatever reason. It's listen, Friday, Saturday, Sunday series is so much different than a Tuesday to Thursday or a Monday to Thursday series. And the reality is you get amped up for a team coming in on Friday. Everybody's excited. The atmosphere in the stands, everything's different. Then it's over.
There's more people in the ballpark for
when
sure.
When we do laundry weekends. And when we chill, and now we're not going out, we're not having dinners, we don't care about, we're going to eat at home. Things change real quick when you travel. It changes the way you feel. Managers set lineups differently. They set lineups based on, like, a feel sometimes. Like, again, a Friday night or a Tuesday, it's two completely different feels. And so I'm going to...
Friday night's almost like it's prime time.
I'm so used to
putting... The ballpark's packed. That's your top lineup.
I'm so used to putting my fourth outfielder in on Tuesdays for whatever reason. Yeah. So that's just what I do.
Or Sunday's backup catcher is going in.
100%, dude. So it changes a lot.
So here's some numbers by day of the week. The best...
I look at this, by the way.
Here you go. The Brewers and Braves... On Fridays, both 5-0.
Brewers, Braves, Friday.
Brewers, Braves on Fridays
Brewers
are 5-0.
It's kind of crazy to me, huh?
So you want let's just go. Let's just I'll tell you what. Let's break this down by day of the week. All right. So we'll start on Monday. Okay. The best record on Mondays, the Atlanta Braves 19-7.
They're going to be on that list everywhere.
Which coincides because oh no, I'm sorry. This is not the right list. Hold on. Day equals Monday.
They're the best record in baseball, so okay. We got to cut them out.
So here we go. The best record.
Bet on them.
The best record, let me say this. 3-0. The Orioles are 3-0 on Mondays. The Cardinals.
They're young, dude.
Cardinals are 3-1 on Mondays. Padres are 3-1 on Mondays.
There we go.
Blue Jays and Phillies and Angels, 3-1 on Mondays. The worst team on Mondays, the Brewers, 0-3 on Mondays. Diamondbacks, 0-4. Rays, 0-4. Marlins, 0-4. White Sox, 0-4 on Mondays.
Just like the White Sox and Marlins, like we can't include them in almost anything.
Tuesdays.
It's just awful.
The best team in baseball on Tuesdays at 4-0, the Dodgers and Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
So think about that. I just said that
teams.
I just said the Diamondbacks are the worst team on Mondays. They're 0-4 on Mondays, but they're undefeated at 4-0 on Tuesdays.
It's so weird, right?
So they lose the first game of the series, and then they bounce back and win the next game on Tuesday.
Or Monday could be an off day, too. Could be
this calculates the games that are played on Mondays. So they've played four games on Mondays. So they're 0-4 on Monday.
No, I'm saying the Tuesday games. Could be coming off a day off. We don't, I mean, there's that.
Oh, that's right. So
like what teams come off a day
come off? Yeah. Coming off a day off. So, yeah, so they're 4-0. The Dodgers 4-0. Tigers are 3-0 on Tuesdays. Royals are 3-0
so
on Tuesdays.
So, you always heard me say this. I always looked at Tuesdays as the dog Tuesdays. Mm-hmm. Tuesdays to me, you know, Josh Towers versus Justin Verlander. bet Josh Towers. For whatever reason, the dogs seem to win on Tuesdays, man. It's really cool.
So, here's how this year. Favorites on Tuesdays, 32-30, which means the underdogs are 30-32.
We're crushing.
So you are actually
money wise, we're crushing.
Not so much. You're +419, +419 if you bet the dogs on every Tuesday. If you bet the favorites though on every Tuesday, you're down $1,027.
Is there so you have something up? Is there anywhere in there where on something like that the dogs are not profiting? Again, we talked about Jacob DeGrom, right? In every
What day of the week the dogs aren't profiting?
Jacob DeGrom was a favorite every time, and if you bet against him every day, you made so much money because of how lopsided lines
were. This season, dogs and favorites are not profitable this season.
Okay.
So in every game this year, favorites are 56.9%, 255 and 193. By betting on every favorite, you're -$2,452. By betting on every underdog, you're -$1,464. But if we do the day of the week, so let's see Mondays for the favorites, 36-24. So that's a good day for them.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned the Tuesday stats are 32-30, right? So for the favorites.
It's just nice to bet dogs, man. We just make more money betting dogs.
Wednesdays, 36-23. Bad day for dogs on Wednesdays.
Okay.
Thursdays, 25-15. Another bad day for dogs on Thursdays. Right now, it looks like Tuesday is the most profitable day for dogs.
Okay.
Fridays.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, Dog Tuesday.
Friday is actually a little bit profitable, +$208.
Okay.
37-31 record for the favorites on Fridays. On Saturdays, 47-34 for the favorites.
Okay.
So, and Sundays, the dogs are +$172. So 42-36. So the most profitable day for underdogs Tuesdays. In baseball is Tuesday at plus $419.
Okay.
Dog Tuesdays. I mentioned it. Dog Tuesdays.
Who we betting tomorrow then?
So let's take a look at the schedule for Tuesday and the games that are going to be.
There you go. Right away. Washington Nationals at Marlins. Nationals are dogs.
On Tuesday?
Kansas City Royals versus the Blue Jays. Toronto has not been that good. Tuesday, the Royals.
Are you looking at Mondays or Tuesdays? Make sure you're looking at Tuesdays because the games for you could be looking at Mondays thing.
I had it on Sunday. You're right. Let's go back, dude. Good for you for saying that to me.
Because the lines aren't going to be out. Yeah, lines aren't going to be out.
We could take a shot. Cortez and Kramer, the Orioles are going to be dogs.
Well, I'll tell you what. This is the dog that we're betting on Tuesday. Rockies at the Marlins. Remember what I said. Marlins in the first game of the series. 0-9.
Yeah.
Marlins are going to be favored at home against the Rockies.
Probably. I don't have listed pitching.
No, but it doesn't matter. The Rockies stink and the Marlins are home. The Marlins are going to be favored over the Rockies. We're going to bet the Rockies and take them as the dog.
Berrios for the Blue Jays has been great. The Blue Jays
themselves. And Cole Reagans for the Royals. Take the Royals as dogs.
Blue Jays themselves have not been good because their offense is awful. Their defense is awful.
I like the Royals as dogs.
Have you watched any of the stuff they've been doing on the Blue Jays? How bad this team is? Everybody around Major League Baseball, MLB Network, anything in Canada, they're starting to really show how bad this team is. Offensively, defensively, it's awful. Berrios has been great. Cole Reagans has not been, but we know how good Cole Reagans can be.
Royals as dogs.
The flip side to that is Cole Reagans finally had a great game the other day, so he had two in his last three have been good. The Blue Jays always struggle versus the Royals. Whether it's at home, on the road, it doesn't matter. I think that you're going to get a great number on the Royals on Tuesday.
All right. Do you think the Mets would be dogs against the Cubs at home? I mean, the Mets are home. Javier Assad is pitching for the Cubs, and he's 2-0 with a 2 ERA. Sean Manaea for the Mets. Yeah. That's going to be
– I think the Cubs –
that's a very closely lined game.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Red Sox are going to be underdogs at home against the Giants and Logan Webb.
I think they will.
We take the Red Sox.
Brewers will be favored big time.
Ooh, here's an interesting.
Simeon, they're 7-0 since they called him up.
This one,
Simeon Woods Richardson, baby.
This one's interesting. Who are you talking about, Woods Richardson?
Twins and White Sox. I will not be betting the dogs in that game.
No. This is the one that I'm very interested in. You got the Braves and the Mariners.
Mackenzie Gore's been good.
Well, that's what I was thinking, too. Mackenzie Gore going for the Nationals against the Rangers. Because you know the Rangers are going to be heavily favored.
100%. Gray's not that great. Mackenzie Gore's been... Yep. Let's look at his real quick.
But what do you think about the Braves and Ronaldo Lopez at the Mariners and Luis Castillo? It's going to be... I think no matter which team is the dog there, bet the dog.
So real quick, and I'm going to go to that. Since April 1st, 3-2-0-3-1 is how many earned runs Mackenzie Gore has given up.
I bet them against the Dodgers as dogs, and they lost 2-1.
That's it, right?
Mackenzie Gore pitching.
Okay, so you're talking about the Braves that we told me? Braves in Seattle?
Yeah, it's Ronaldo Lopez for the Braves, and he's 2-0 with a 0.72 ERA.
I got a 0.5.
And Luis Castillo is pitching for the Mariners.
We finally had a good game.
So I don't know, would the Braves be favored in Seattle against Castillo?
I think the Braves are favored.
I think whichever team is, I think you bet the underdog in that game.
Oh, he's had three good games. Oh, so he cleaned it up.
Bet the underdog no matter what in that game. Because it's going to be closely lined.
How do you ever not take the Braves as plus money? That should be a blind play for us.
Yeah, but I don't know if they will be. They'll probably be slightly
favorites. They're 19-7. I don't care who pitches against them. I don't care who it is.
The Braves are better than you. I got a dog for you. Diamondbacks at home against the Dodgers. Now, remember the stat I just told you before? The Diamondbacks are terrible in the first game of the series on Mondays. So the Dodgers, who are minus 130 favorites tonight against the Diamondbacks, this is a mechanical parlay, we call it, because I'm betting both of these games. I'm betting the Dodgers tonight on Monday night against the Diamondbacks at minus 130, and then I'm betting the Diamondbacks as dogs with Jordan Montgomery on the mound on Tuesday.
Okay.
Jordan Montgomery for the Diamondbacks. Knack is going for the Dodgers. They're not going to make the Dodgers dogs. It'll be probably similar. Do you think they make the Dodgers dogs with Montgomery on the mound for the Diamondbacks? I don't think so.
No, the Dodgers will be favored.
So I like the Diamondbacks.
It'll be close. Diamondbacks as dogs. Good as what we're used to. Montgomery's the one guy who missed camp that actually been nice. It tells me that he actually cares about his work. What did he get? How much did he get again? Do you remember? We talked about
I know he fired Boris.
He did?
Yeah.
oh my God, why isn't that public knowledge? Bro,
he did? Yeah.
This needs to be really get out there. These players need to start standing up for themselves. I told you, he's been doing this for decades. He sacrifices one for his whole bank account later. For Jordan Montgomery to realize what had happened and to fire him, this is a really positive thing in baseball and for players standing up for themselves. He does not have their best interest at heart.
One year, $25 million with the Diamondbacks.
Jordan knows he. I'm so happy he did that.
So he was one of the Boris four.
Because he didn't want to sit out.
So the four guys that were Boris guys that didn't sign.
And Boris
sign
screwed him twice. The third baseman, Chapman.
Cody Second Bellinger, time. And Blake Snell.
Blake Snell's awful. That's on him.
Yeah, I know. That's on Blake Snell. But Montgomery fired him, yeah.
God, he's so good.
Yeah, smart guy. Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. That is going to be a close game. It's going to be close to a pick 'em, right?
It probably will be. But I look at that one. I look at that for the Dogs.
I ever get the Braves plus money, I'm taking it. I don't care.
Yankees Orioles. Take whoever's the dog in that game on tomorrow. Dog Tuesday. Right? Yankees Orioles. You're fine taking
either game. It's going to be a pick 'em as well.
Yeah, it's going to be very. These games are going to be so close. Interesting dogs. There's no like really massive plus money
Cardinals
that we're going to like.
Tigers, man, with Flaherty and Gibson. Both of these guys have the potential to be good.
I don't think there's going to show us. I think the biggest plus money that you could possibly get is maybe the A's at home against the Pirates.
The Royals are definitely going to be.
Yeah, the Royals are going to be decent priced, but I don't think we're not getting like a plus 250 like on this on their schedule.
Get plus 120, the Royals. Yeah.
That's what I would look at for Tuesday. But anyway, Dog Tuesday, I'm glad we figured that out. It's the most profitable day for underdogs.
That too. Then you're talking about dogs at home as well. You're giving me dogs at home on a day where dogs shine? Like, I think the Red Sox are going to be.
So the home dogs on Tuesdays? Plus $577.
That's what I'm talking about, baby.
14-10. They're winning.
About, baby.
So.
They're winning straight up.
Yeah. Home dogs on Tuesdays, 14-10. They're plus $577.
Get my boy Simeon pitching.
So we like home dogs on Dog Tuesday. All right. Before we wrap up this episode, we will do the Josh's Tower, the power rankings of let's do your top teams in baseball right now as we about to finish the month of April. So give me one team on Josh's Tower right now.
In no particular order.
No particular order. Josh's Tower for April 29th. Go ahead.
Maybe the Braves are particular order. Braves, Guardians, Phillies, Orioles, and Yankees.
Okay. So you're big. Yeah, Braves, Yankees, Orioles, Phillies. You have Orioles and Yankees interchangeable. You really like the Orioles.
Yeah, I was making an order, but that's why I said no order. Yeah, no that's order, why yeah. I interchanged yeah. it.
Well, this series,
I just think
the
Orioles
say a lot.
Are taught a different version of baseball in the minor league system, not the major league system, in the minor league system, and it's showing off. And I think Gunnar Henderson is one of my favorite players in the game. He sets the tone. Adley's doing a much better job than I thought he would. I know everybody else thought he'd be great. He's held up his end of the deal. Made a couple defensive mistakes by the outfield yesterday that we need to clean up.
They are 2-4 in one run games, 7-3 in blowout games. The Orioles.
Yeah, they're made to blow out.
One run games would be scary though. I do like their bullpen though.
Imagine when their closer gets back, dude.
Yeah, Bautista.
Oh God.
Here's the Kimbrel's doing a great job, and they still have Cano as well.
I'm just saying, add an eighth inning guy or a seventh inning guy.
Here's the opponents. They're 3-0 against Boston, 4-2 against KC, 4-2 against LA, 1-2 against Milwaukee, 3-0 against Minnesota, 1-2 against Oakland. That's surprising, and 1-2 against Pittsburgh.
It's easy to no-show bad teams, dog. But here's your.
I think this series against the Yankees tells a lot. If they take 2 of 3 from the Yankees,
11-4 versus teams with a winning record. They're the best in baseball. Yeah, versus good teams.
Yeah, Kansas City.
They don't care.
I think this series says a lot. If they can take 2 of 3 from the Yankees, it'll be a massive. Well, I think it's a 4-game set. Actually, it's a 4-game set against the Yankees. If they. You got to get at least a split.
Schmidt, Rodriguez.
You have to get at least a split. They cannot. They
Cortez,
cannot.
Kramer.
They go 1-3 against the Yankees. It crushes their confidence. I know it's early in the season, but it crushes their
Burns
confidence.
Burns and Gill. And we don't know yet. They're way better than the Yankees, I think.
You do think.
Yeah.
But this series tells a lot. I know it's early in the year, but if you lose 3 of 4 to the Yankees this early in the year, I think it crushes your confidence.
I don't think this team is old enough to care about that. I think they shake it off.
Because they don't play the Yankees again until the second half of the season.
Yeah,
I
don't think they're worried about the Yankees at all. I don't even think the Yankees are something that they're really paying attention to.
So Clark Schmidt against Grayson Rodriguez, Nestor Cortez, Dean Kramer tomorrow, Luis Gil against Corbin Burns, and then Carlos Rodon will go for the Yankees, and it'll probably be a bullpen day maybe for the Orioles.
Which is unacceptable.
I mean, I don't know.
It's unacceptable.
I don't know who else they're going
to I don't know, but they need to go get
there.
Somebody else. Go get a starter. Why not? Why wait?
They got to get their guys back healthy.
You're so loaded. You're so loaded.
I mean, John Means on the IL, Kyle Bradish on the IL, Tyler Wells on the IL.
He's on a rehab stand. He's on his way. He's working his way back.
John Means?
Bradish.
Bradish, yeah.
Oh, imagine getting. That's why they won't.
Yeah, they got guys coming back. They got guys coming back that are on the IL right now. And then they'll be a dangerous team. I bet the under before the season started. I just thought this team was too young.
Okay, so the best team in baseball is the Braves, and the second best team in baseball is the Orioles. That's what I'm going with.
That's high praise. High praise for the Baltimore Orioles.
Bro, Corbin Burns, Grayson Rodriguez is finally doing his thing, and he's not even close to being ready for the big leagues. John Means peeking his head over there.
Yeah.
Kyle Bradish, if he can learn how to pitch. Oh, my God, he's dirty. Ooh, Scotty, this team is it.
I noticed you didn't have the Dodgers on this list. So, again, Braves, Orioles, Yankees, Phillies, Guardians. You don't have the Dodgers on the list.
Yeah, I think I changed them for the Phillies. I was looking at MLB.com. They have the Braves, the Orioles 2. They have Dodgers 3.
I think you will not find...
Guardians, Yankees.
You will not find a power ranking anywhere out there that doesn't have the Dodgers. So why are the Dodgers not in your top 5?
They're starting pitching, and I just pitching as a whole. I just don't. The offense is there. Like the offense is great, but offense isn't something that wins. They don't win World Series, right? Again, go back to Acuna, got hurt and missed the entire second half of the season. The Braves won a World Series without the best player in the game.
Yeah.
The Angels have had Trout and Shohei Ohtani, the two best players, arguably two, and they can't win, right? Yep. So pitching wins. I just think their pitching is very, very inconsistent. But if they can get any of those guys back, and again, because the team is winning, they we talked about this a lot. They have time to not rush, but they need when they get Walker back and Clayton back, Gosselin. Gosselin, when they get those guys back, they need them healthy. They don't need a part-time version of those guys. They need a healthy version of those guys, or they don't need them. Will they be maybe the best team in baseball at some point? If they get those guys back, yeah, for sure. The offense is there. The defense is a pretty good defense. I just think because of the pitching, and every day we have somebody else pitching that we don't know who they are, I think that's why I have them off, and it's making the bullpen's job a lot harder. Mm-hmm. But again, if the Dodgers' pitching can ever get healthy, no, they're jumping into the top two almost every time probably. Imagine the future. Imagine a second-year Yamamoto guy with experience, a Shohei Ohtani back, and then everybody else healthy. Imagine that health. Oh, my God. What's the kid they got from Glasnow? Oh. Yamamoto second year, Shohei Ohtani, Tyler Glasnow, your top three. Then we'll add in a Clayton Kershaw. Why not, right?
Only see, that's the thing. Like, I feel like guys aren't even – I feel like people right now aren't even acknowledging the fact that Ohtani will pitch next year for the Dodgers. Like, it's because he's not pitching this year, it's almost like that out of sight, out of mind type thing.
It is.
Where it's like, oh, yeah, Ohtani's just a DH, like, and he's great, and he's an incredible hitter. But then you're like,
forgot
like, wait, this makes, yeah, he's not pitching this year because of the elbow. But next year, you're right, the top three in the Dodgers rotation is going to be Glasnow, Yamamoto, and Ohtani. Will be the top three pitchers in the rotation next year.
Well, the other thing is, and this is what's beautiful, is absence makes that heart grow fonder. Shohei Ohtani, by not pitching and dedicating his brain to that, just rehabbing, he pitches every day, we just don't see it. Shohei Ohtani gets to focus more of his attention just on offense. And why can't I get offense here? Batting. And I don't think people are really, we know he's good, but I don't think people are understanding how much better of a baseball player offensively he is right now than he has ever been before. Dude, he's hitting .336 currently. .304, .273, .257, .190, .286, and .285. Like, everything he's doing offensively is on pace for better, for better, for better. And then he gets to focus on that and learn that, and then he gets to rebuild himself from a pitching perspective, and then he gets to come back and do that. Like, this guy has only gotten better and will be better because of this injury.
You know, it's like, I wish I could bet the Dodgers to win the World Series next year. Not this, like now. Like, I want to bet them now to win the World Series next year because of Ohtani coming back and pitching.
The one thing I'll say is Well, no. I mean, again, I think he's got 5 stolen bases. We know he steals 20, 11, 26, 7, 12, and 10. So almost double-digit steals every year of his career. But he also was 20 and 6, 11 and 9, 26 and 10, 12 and 3, 10 and 4. He usually gets caught stealing a decent amount. Mm-hmm. He's 5 and 0 this year. So everything he's doing, he's focusing more on the offensive side, and he's becoming a higher-educated offensive baseball player, which is so dangerous for the guy who's already the best in the game. Oh, God, the Dodgers are onto something.
All right, well, they're not in your top 5 this week, but we'll see how that changes as we move on through the weeks. Did you see Major League Baseball is finally addressing the uniform issue? With the...
See-through?
The uniform issue.
What about it?
You know how the players were complaining because...
See-through?
They're see-through, they're being sweat through.
Yeah.
The gray is a different color from the pants and the jersey.
It's stupid.
The names on the back are so small that it looks like amateurish. Yeah. So they're fixing that. They're going.
They should.
They're going to go back to the old ones. It's going to take a while, but they're going to go back.
That's the whole thing. Is like you. That's your job, right? And so you like you always want to do something to like make it look like you're doing something. And sometimes it's like you already nailed it.
I think what happened was Nike came out and they were like, "Hey, we got these new uniforms. Like they're breathable. Like the players are going to be excited about it."
Dude, they're already pajamas. They're already fantastic, dude.
And the players put them on and they're like, "We don't like this."
No, they're terrible.
Like we, how many times did you change your uniform during a start? Did you do that? Were you that kind of guy?
Nah.
Because you know there's pitchers that, like, they'll sweat and through one inning and then
I
change their uniform.
I have different undershirts. So I would have, like, 3 variations of whatever undershirt I would wear. So I would have those. And so some days in the summer you were taking it. But a lot of times for me, I just didn't even wear an undershirt. Didn't need it. So I wouldn't even wear an undershirt. So I didn't have to change.
But you wouldn't change your jersey during the game?
No, I didn't sweat like that bad. Yeah.
Not like Aroldis Chapman. The guy sweats.
My heart rate doesn't go that fast. It just doesn't need to.
You were calm.
Yeah. Everybody's different on, you know, who perspires, you know, more or less. But no, I just didn't need it.
It's just crazy.
But some people need it, dude.
I'm like watching these Yankee games and like Rodon and stuff, like sweating through the gray jersey, and it's like embarrassing. And so Major League Baseball is finally going to address that debacle.
You can't do anything about the weather and how hot it gets. I mean, 2019 was the hottest summer on record. I mean, what are you going to do? You know, there's nothing you can do about it.
Yep.
It's beautiful.
All right. So to recap, Josh's Tower for this April 29th, Braves, Orioles, Yankees, Phillies, Guardians. Top 5 best teams in Major League Baseball. And we like dogs on Tuesdays, home dogs especially, Dog Tuesdays, and days of the week. Yep, we definitely talked about that. The first 5 innings.
I just want to point this out for no reason at all. It means absolutely nothing. But since the Twins called up Simeon Woods Richardson, they're 7-0. I love it.
Like you only pitch once every 5 days.
Love my boy. No, he's great.
Yeah. Let me give you guys a promo code to save some money at pregame.com. So right now, you can go to pregame.com. You can take $10 off of any purchase on pregame.com. So if you want like a daily best bet, they're all priced at $25 or less. So like you can get a daily best bet for a 3-star for $15 or a 2-star for $20, whatever it is. Or you can take $10 off any 7-day all-access from your favorite pregame pro. Maybe you want to just take $10 off an already discounted season-long subscription. Any way you want to save $10, go right ahead and save $10 at pregame.com using the promo code CITY10. CITY, CITY10 is for listeners of this podcast only. You can save $10 at pregame.com. Again, the promo code is CITY10. I mentioned the jerseys because when I say city, it reminds me of the City Connect jerseys.
Mm-hmm. That are so cool.
I thought the Mets ones were nice. The little the dark gray pinstripe
was so neat.
with the bridge. I kind of liked it. I did kind of like the Mets City Connect jerseys. So CITY10 will save you $10 at pregame.com. For former Major League pitcher Josh Towers, I'm Scott Seidenberg. This has been the Inside Pitch Major League Baseball podcast brought to you by pregame.com.